From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
People abuse fathers. Is it true? Fathers, everybody tried to find out that father who didn't take care of me. He rest himself and me one talk to here and he didn't do nothing for me. He was spending money on some girls and some drink. But Mother's Day, you don't hear those things. It's sweetness and niceness and everybody want gift on Mother's Day. Hey, it's not a nice world though. I think you look at it, there's some truth in it. Yeah, on Father's Day, men suffer. Mother's Day, women enjoy. Yeah. Even in the church, on Mother's Day, women are giving gifts. On Father's Day, they say, men, stand for your responsibilities. Rise up and take up your responsibilities. Hey, we're in trouble, though. But it's not fair. The women always try to play some funny games. Mm-hmm. Like, Prince, in this 21st century, if I hear any sexual harassment, if I was a judge, I'll dismiss the case. Why? How they dress on the road? You call it sexual harassment? You can't bring. The way the women are doing those now, there can never be a sexual harassment. Yeah. We too, we should say sexual persecution. We should also sue people for sexual persecution. Sexual enticement. You should sue the woman for that. You show your legs and show your breast and all of that. Sexual enticement. Yeah. Breast seduction. Aggressive seduction. Hey, if I was a judge, I'll say, bring it on. Tell me, brother, what happened to you? I was in church. And there's this Christian sister came to sit next to me and said, my honor, my Lord. When I looked to my left, I said, Lord Jesus. So, I think it's not fair. So, your honor, I think you should send her to jail for 2 months. So, this Sunday is Mother's Day. And I think it's right to all of us be together like the first and the second service, isn't it? So instead of the 20th that announced that we're going to have the early and later rain come together as one service, we're starting this Sunday. Right? Yeah. We want to try and you know, pick up the pieces and patch up some things and launch out a bit stronger. All right, and then so we're going to start service at 8 a.m. and it'll close at 10 a.m. What do you think? So you can go home and eat chana and eat chow mein. So please come at 8. If you come at 9, we'll close at 12. I want an early service so I can also go and eat chana at home and all that. These are Sundays. We also do play domino and all of that. We are great, so we have to slow down and enjoy life. Very soon, you see that you can't eat food again. You are in heaven. Heaven, we don't eat food. You miss all the bora and all the fine things around here. Right, so from this Sunday, Shepherd House International, we're going to have one service. We're launching it one service, 8 to 10. And I want you to really support this thing. You get it? You must understand that there are so many things we do around Christ that you may not see your benefit here on earth per se, but you'll be surprised when you get to heaven. You know, so as members of this church, let us build a church. The song that we play, there's a reason why we play that song for me to come on stage, because all that I'm doing is to build the church. To build a church. God told me several months ago that I should strengthen the branches, right? Strengthen the branches. And then, you know, 2 days ago, it was yesterday or so, he sent me that same message. He was saying that I should water the branches. I should water the branches, which means that I will have to, when we say watering, it means preaching. Right? So as I've come to study, as I'm preaching, I'm actually watering some plants. And a nice time to water plants is in the evening or early in the morning. Annette, is it true or not? Yeah, to water plants is good in the evening or in the morning, not in the afternoon. Yeah, not midday. You know, so there's something supernatural happening here tonight as I stand here on stage. Hallelujah. There's something supernatural happening called watering. It means that there is some kind of influence or impact. Some supernatural virtues and supernatural elements are coming your way that is supposed to raise you and cause you to rise up. That if you were weak, you become strong. If you came here in a certain state, by the time you're leaving, you go in a stronger and a better state. Hallelujah. You know, so this Sunday, Mother's Day, we're coming at 8 o'clock. We're closing at 10 o'clock. And for that matter, from every Sunday here, we're going to have one service. We can only do two services when we are too much for one service. I say that some people don't have what I call a value system. People don't understand what value. What is actually valuable? I think I should preach that message. Valuable things. I mean, let me just say clearly, Guyanese, we don't have value. Our level of value or how we value things is very. We don't have a value system. Things that are important is not important. Things that are not important, that's what is important. Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So, Mother's Day, all mothers are welcome. So please find a mother in your area. Find a mother in your house. If you're the only mother, that means you're in trouble. You have to find another mother. Find a mother in your neighborhood. Find a mother at your workplace. Find a mother. If you're a student, you can find a teacher who is a mother. Let us decide that this Sunday, any mother I come across in the bus, wherever, I'm inviting that mother to church. How many are going to just flow in that spirit? Yeah, let's build a church. Oh. Let's build a church. God is depending on us. Amen. And then Monday, it's 14th May. That is the founder of our church's birthday or birth anniversary, like Prince will say. It's my apologies. It's birth anniversary. So what Bishop has told us on his birth anniversary day or on his birthday, like some of us who didn't go far in school, he will say birthday. All that Bishop wants is Bishop wants souls to be won, outreaches, everything we do. He says the gift that he wants is not 10,000 Guyanese dollars or 5,000. He wants soul winning gifts. So next week, we're going to launch a Monday to Sunday outreach activities. Hallelujah. So every day from Monday next week up to Sunday morning, we're going to come up with some little activities, programs here and there that Save Church leaders, please. Let's help the baby. Baby needs attention, so we take the baby out and we give attention to the baby. Can we do that? Thank you very much. Right, so from Monday, we're going to have different activities. I want to encourage you, if you can't do Monday, at least you can do Tuesday. If you can't do Tuesday, you can do Wednesday. At least be part of it somewhere, somehow. I believe it's going to be a blessing, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. How many are going to be part of something next week in respect of Founders Day, the founder of our church who have not seen us but loves us so much, has given us things. Normally, when people don't see you, they don't care about you. Out of sight, out of mind. Go to PNC office in Batica, you see. It's a practical example. I can't lie to you. Hallelujah. All right. So one service this Sunday and henceforth, 8 to 10 a.m. every Sunday. Of course, we're here every Wednesday from 6:30 as well. Know your invisible enemies. If you think that you don't have an enemy who is invisible, you are joking. Hey. What is it, me? Google. Is that Google? I didn't ask Google to do anything. Once you can't find Jesus Christ for me, you should keep quiet. You're looking at invisible enemies, right? Know your invisible. We are going through a series of knowledge about. Do you know that if we were to secularize our meetings and our teachings, that some of you who have been here for 4 years, you get a degree in Christianity? Yeah. We take you through curriculums, demonology, we take you to Christian living, finance management, leadership. We take you through all of that. At the end of 3-4 years, you should get a diploma or degree in Christianity. Yeah. Those of you who have been here for 2 years, 3 years, if you have really been following the teachings, you should be a very hot Christian. Yeah. Universities and all these colleges are about. They go and they specialize in information in a particular direction. And they are appreciated for that. They are given a degree, they are given a certificate. And then they are empowered as people who can function in this particular area. So you too, if you really take these things serious, even though you may not have a degree or diploma, but invisibly, you have something, you have achieved something. Yeah, if you really take, if you write notes, if you buy the books, if you read, if you get yourself into it, I tell you, you'll be something else. You know, so we are teaching you about invisible enemies. This subject, many people don't learn it. It's not every university that offers this course. Invisible enemies that you are taking through a course for how many? 8 weeks about invisible enemies. It's a semester, almost a semester. So by the time we finish and you have the book, you should be somebody who cannot be tricked or be fooled by the enemy who is not visible. You have to know him. You have to know about him. You have to know how he works, where he stays, how he moves, what he moves with, what he likes, what he doesn't like, and all kinds of things. And in our life and in our circles, in our Christian lives, even in our lives as human beings, many of us and Christians are very much focused on deliverance. Deliverance, demons. There are many things. If things are not working for somebody, the easy thing somebody will say is that there are demons working. It's very nice and easy to blame a demon than to blame yourself. Yeah, for many Christians who don't have knowledge, almost everything is demonic. No, but there are demons. We cannot refuse and we cannot ignore the fact that the evil world or the supernatural world or the invisible world is a real thing. It's a real place. And so whatever it is there, we should be able to understand. We know that in the beginning of the earth or of the world, God created the heavens and the earth. And even before that, God had in his presence and in his home and in heaven, he had angels. And he had three major angels who were in charge of all the angels in the kingdom of God. And one of them, who was called Lucifer, which by descriptions and by whatever people write and all of that, we know that he was actually the glorified archangel. If you look at Michael, if you look at Gabriel, you look at Lucifer. Lucifer was the top. I mean, he was so adored. He was so praised. He was so honored. If you take God Almighty out of the picture, the next person who many people look up to was Lucifer. And one day, he turned from light into darkness when he decided to replace and to take out the creator of himself even. A very foolish decision. And his life has never been the same again after that day. So he, because he was created an angel, and then because he was cast out of heaven, and he was able to convince and deceive some people, some angels, he is actually running a fake network, a fake world of invisible, wicked, dark forces. The Bible says that for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principal demons. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Principalities. Against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our lives, just as you wake up in the morning, and this is the thing, we wrestle. The Bible calls it, we wrestle not. But you see, the wrestling not, what it means, the wrestling not, is just you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, or you scrub your teeth. I don't know which one is applicable to you. Some teeth need to be scrubbed. Some teeth need scrubbing. Bonto, what do you think? You agree or not? Some needs brushing, but some needs scrubbing. Some just regular Colgate, but some, I think you need Fabuloso. Or Harpic. Hallelujah. So you look at it. The Bible says that for you and I, we wrestle. Now, the picture of a wrestling match is some two people in a square box or ring in an arena, and then people are all gathered around, and then you are wearing some trunks, right? Blue or whatever, or you're wearing some boktoks or some pants, some brief. What is brief. And they have some long boots, black boots, with very fine soles, so it doesn't, you know, hurt your opponent. And then you kind of put some oil on your chest so that your chest will shine. And then you come. I mean, if you think about a wrestling match, you're thinking of something like that. So it's a bit more real. It's a bit more acceptable that when you see these two people in a ring and they are wrestling, it's oh yeah, Cena and, you know, yeah. But when the Bible says that you and I are wrestling, you and I are wrestling, you can easily not understand what the Bible is saying. Because when we wake up in the morning, we don't go to the stadium, we don't go into the arena, we don't wear trunks and go and stand in the ring and say, hey, Satan, where are you? Come, let's wrestle. When you and I wake up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we put on our clothes, whatever we do, and we go out to work. Or we go out to school. And we go out to do whatever we want to do in the day. And then we come back home, and we come back and relax. Where is the wrestling match? Excuse me, what is the Bible talking about here? I don't see any day that I go to any gym or any sports club to go and fight no demon. So when the Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, technically what he's saying is that in that your regular and your normal life, and you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you breakfast, you and your family, you know, you start your car, you drive out, you go to work, all the work day, this, reporting, that during the day, lunchtime, and then this, and then by 4:34, 4:35, you close from work, and then you take your car or bus, and you go home. The Bible says that, you see, with this normal routine of your life, there is a wrestling match going on that you don't know. I don't know how many of you are following what I'm trying to say. Because you don't have to be in the boxing ring in what we are talking about to know that you are fighting. We have to understand that every single day of our lives, there are opportunities to fight, to wrestle, and to box the enemy in a ring that you cannot see. So don't wait and see, oh, okay, all right, Satan, I'm waiting for you. When I'm 24 years, I'm building some muscles, and I'll face you in the ring, and I'll beat you. There's nothing like that. When you are born, the day you are born, he's with you, fighting and wrestling. In whatever you are doing, if you are going to school, he's wrestling with you. You're wrestling, going to school, staying focused, writing exams, listening to teachers, going on time, all of that. In all of that, there's this invisible wrestling match taking place. And you see that many people, including Christians, are kind of bonded and yoked. I mean, while Christ Jesus came to set us free. So we're looking at freedom, isn't it? Is it rain? It's nice. How you can be free from demon or demonic oppression. Are you there? The Bible says that anointing breaks yokes. So we learn that the first point is that you can be set free from demon power through what? You can be set free from demon power through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I think last Wednesday, I preached about that. I pray for some of you, and I believe that you are free from any demonic oppression. Amen. Let me say one thing again. As I go and it comes, drops into my mind, I say it. You say, we are Guyanese, right? But Guyanese, we are not Guyanese anymore because we are Christians. We need to be able to be bold and speak of the things God has done for us. It is called testimony. When you share your testimony, you actually silence the devil more. We are not people who are going to say, oh, I don't want to say anything because I don't want nobody to mind my business. That is done in the world. That's not done in the church. In the church world, we actually have to speak forth. We have to say what God has done for us, for others to be encouraged, for others to learn from it, for others also to believe that, hey, if it happened for this one, it can also happen for me. How many understand what I'm trying to talk about? So here in the church, we talk about business, especially the business that we know that supernaturally has changed because of prayer, has changed because of some encounter, has changed because of a service. And we are asking you for those things to come forward and share your testimony with the whole congregation. So every Sunday, every Wednesday, you have the opportunity to just, you know, speak to Pastor Gerald, Lee, Pastor Phoebe, and all these people. Let them write your name. We'll talk to you briefly. And then you share your testimony with us. Because otherwise, most of the important things and the supernatural things that are happening in our lives, people don't know. People don't see. So people think that we just come here and waste our time. But we don't come here to waste our time. Like I was telling you, God said you must water the people. Yeah, so there's a supernatural activity going on here right now. Amen. Tell your neighbor you are being watered. Yeah. And anything you water, it grows. Isn't it? Yeah. And anything you water, it gains health. It becomes healthy. Yeah, it becomes green and nice. So as you come to church, even invisibly, as I preach, you are getting better, you are getting healthy, and your system is getting better and better and better. Hey! Doctors tell you, they say, people say you should drink water, at least 1 liter of water every day. You know what it does for you? Your body is about what? Is it 70 or 80% water? So water is very important in your life. And God says, as you have come here, you are being watered. Somebody is receiving more rain tonight. So everybody wants to be free from demon oppression. That's why some people go to services. Jewel, is that you? Okay. Many people go for deliverance services. Deliverance services are popular. People leave their workplace at lunchtime to go for deliverance. One of the top services in the country. If I was to have a deliverance service, I have actually fought myself not to have a deliverance service. I have fought the idea. I know if I was to have deliverance service, I would have probably had one of the most successful deliverance services around. Because as for demons there, yeah. Oh cry. They know me, I know them. And I don't joke with them. And I know demons so much that these days, if I'm casting devils, I don't struggle. Yeah, no, these demons that you have to hold people, and then before you realize you yourself, you are falling down. No. No, I'm bigger than that now. I've grown. Yeah, I've become wiser. So you can cast out devils through all kinds of things. And I'm teaching you a few of that. So what we are teaching, or what I'm teaching you, is that, you know, you can be free from these possessions and demonic things. And there are demonic things around. I spoke about yoke last week. And some of you can identify that things doesn't go the way you expect it. It looks as if there's a particular system, a particular pattern. Anytime you see that, you should know that there's something at work. I told you of a brother I know whose uncles are all still with their mother. If you are growing up, you see all your uncles home, hey, you should run away. I tell you. Yeah, if you grow up to see that your auntie, your grandmother, your mother, all of them are in the same place, you should tell yourself, hey, Lord, help me disappear from this place, because you are likely to be the same product. Yeah, and I have observed a few families around who fall into this category that I know. Yeah. That they hardly break out. In the country where I was born, in Ghana, we know how we call it. There's a way we call it. There's a particular grandmother. It's a particular mother who is running a kingdom by herself. And in that kingdom, yeah, she's running my mother's kingdom or grandmother's kingdom. And what it is that grandmother or that mother, mostly it's the women. The men are not into this so much. The grandmother now, or the mother, does not, because of the evil spirits that this person has, or they are working through this person, this grandmother does not allow her children and her grandchildren and great-grandchildren to go out. So, what I mean is that if they go out and they are being successful, something happens for them to come back home. If you come and marry one, you are either fought, or when you marry one, it will not work for a while, and then the person comes back to the home where they were taken away from. And I'm not talking about one or two things. I'm talking about something that happens. It's constant. It's persistent. It's not one person. It's not two. It's this. It's that. My cousin, my auntie, my this. You see that it's not just one or two examples, but it's a consistent, and it's consistent and it has a pattern. It's like, if we are going to do something, grandmother has to decide before we do it. We have to discuss it with her. If my mother doesn't agree, I don't think I can do it. My big brother, I was talking to my big brother the other day. He was telling me, a young lady I know, growing up, she used to stay with my grandmother. And then my mother linked her with one of her brothers, her cousins. Yeah, brother from another mother. And so the brother married her. Took her to America, you know, very glorious life. My brother was telling me that they are divorced now. So I said, ah, what happened? And we know it. You see, as Ghanaians or as Africans, there are certain things when you do, you are doomed. One of it is to marry in Europe or America and bring your mother-in-law from Africa to come and stay with you. Your marriage will not be the same again. We know that. We Africans, we know that too much. We don't try those things. Here too, right? Mother-in-law can't move her bag and her baggages from Africa and come and live with you and your wife in a two-bedroom apartment in America. Like she has also come to stay. When the Bible says that you must leave, you rather are bringing them on as a luggage. How can your marriage work? You're not serious. We know it. And many people, many Africans, many Ghanaians have gone through this cycle. The moment the mother-in-law comes, we give you 1 year, the marriage will spoil. I tell you. A girl is divorced, moved with her mother to go and live somewhere. The man is left alone somewhere. The mother has come to America to ensure that the daughter and whatever she works for and whatever she earns and whatever she possesses is hers. And not something that is inside a marriage. Yeah. And if you're following me. Yeah. Hey, Ravi, what's that? You know, so it's like that. But people want to be free. Because as black people and as poor people and people from the developing countries, there are so many hidden things in our lives that presses us down. It's either real lack of leadership or it's real demonic power and demonic possession. So there's a mixture. The mixture of the two here and there. Sometimes you cannot even really, really differentiate which one is working. Yeah. But there are, because you see, demonic power can take a country down. And good leadership can also take a country up. So sometimes you can easily not, if you are not spiritual, you can easily not know what is actually pulling me down. Am I being pulled down because of my bad decisions? Or is it because there's a devil that is really pulling me down and working on me? And sometimes it's a combination of both. Yeah. Decisions, leadership, demonic oppression, demonic encounters, and all kinds of things. And let me tell you here in Guyana, I've been here for 12, 13 years. I have an opinion. And I can also say some things also. That a lot of the young people in this country are demon possessed. Most young people in this country have demons and devils. I can tell you. So sometimes you encounter with a young person, you encounter with somebody, it's actually an encounter with the devil. But because some people don't know better, so they don't even understand some of these things. We are talking about how you can be free from all these encumbrances. These encumbrances, they call it. Normally, when you are buying a property, they say it's free from all encumbrances. There's nobody fighting with anybody in court. There's nobody fighting with anybody about the fence or the boundary. It's free from all encumbrances. No risk and taxes, no light bill. It's free. It's not lease, it's freehold, not leasehold. That is your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, it is the Holy Spirit that can set you free from all these entanglements. Sometimes you can sit down and say, you know what, I don't look bad. I look okay. Marissa, it's like, Marissa, I don't look bad. I can cook, wash, clean. I could take care of a man. But how come this guy don't want to marry me? Me no one more for sale. Sometimes when all the cards are on the table, you realize that there's a supernatural element that is fighting against you. Yeah. It's fantastic. And the devil has subtly, like I told you, it's not in a boxing ring. He has subtly given us some options that are low, that are lower. And we go for those options and don't even know that it is the devil that is keeping us down because of those choices and those options. Hallelujah. Any encumbrances in your life is being taken away tonight in Jesus' name. As I'm watering you, the chains and the bonds are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. By the time we pray, it will be broken and be disappeared in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is the one who breaks yokes. Tonight, the second point, the second means, the second procedure or process through which you can be free from demonic possession, demonic power, is through the word of God, the spoken word. The spoken word. The spoken word. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. Spoken word. Many people, many Christians, do not respect the power of the spoken word to deliver and set us free. You know, we are human beings. Again, we are moved by what we see. Man, look at the outward. So if you are not going for a service for somebody to, you know, bath you or give you something and thing and thing and thing like that, you sometimes don't believe in the power. Yeah. Even as a young lady, you are going to be attracted more to a man who shows you love by buying things and taking to places rather than somebody who says that, oh, I love you. Is you more of you use for saying you love me all the time? True of us. The one who will bring money and do things, that person is more appreciated than you who is just, it's only every day is your mouth. I love you, sweet words, poems you are writing, sweet words. Meanwhile, you don't bring nothing. Where's Anita McLean? When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Many that were possessed with devils. So it tells you that people are possessed with devils in the days of Jesus. And it also today in our time, people are also possessed with devils. And sometimes they come to church. The Bible says that As the many people came to him, he cast out the spirits. But this time, he didn't use anointing oil. This time, he cast the devil out of these demons with his mouth. Or with the word of his mouth. So he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. So let's analyze this thing, because it's a very, very simple scripture. But the Bible is telling us that apart from the Holy Spirit breaking yokes in Isaiah 10 and 27, the word of God also casts out devils and breaks yokes. How does this happen? This is what I think. This is what I believe. I believe that these devils, because they are alive, they have life, they hear you when you talk to them. Are you there? So just as a human being will enter your yard without you inviting them, And you can stand in your house and say, hey, what are you doing there? Who opened the gate for you? Who asked you to come inside? Get out of my yard now. Just as you can do that to a human being, you can also do that to demons and to spirits. And that is where the word of Jesus comes in. Because with a certain right and a certain authority, your words also have power. I remember I was looking for, we were trying to look for a bigger place on the West Bank to have our church before the cathedral is built. So I saw this house, a big yard. And it has something like a bond, a big bond, but it's very, you know, zinc, old, have these broken down tractors and excavators around it. But I said, you know what? We like these things. By the time you go inside, you can move these things out and get a nice hall and have service. So I entered the compound. I stood outside first. I said, inside, nobody minded me. So I said, okay, why not? The gate is not locked. Let me go inside. So I entered. As I entered the compound, I said, inside. I saw a dog, one of these rice eaters who didn't mind me. So I just continued. He didn't say anything. Me too, I didn't say anything. I said, inside. So nobody was minding. This big house, big yard, inside. It was Sunday morning. Inside, nobody say anything. Let me just go around the front part of the house to the bond and peep and see how the place looks like. So as I was going, I'll say inside. Then I'll go 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. I'll say inside. I'll do that. At a point, I heard somebody, a female voice say, what are you doing in the yard? So I said, oh, good morning. What are you doing in the yard? I said, good morning, because at least I want to be polite. It's Sunday morning. You know, they can't be shouting on Sunday morning. So I said, you know, good morning. I'm a pastor. I'm just looking for a place to rent to start a church. So I saw this. Get out of my yard. Oh, sweetie, you don't want me to finish my... Get out of my yard. I said, okay. But, I mean, can I come and... Get out of my yard. I took my anointing and my power and my authority as a pastor and my dress up Sunday morning coat and suit and tie. I left the yard. Why? Because I entered a territory that didn't belong to me. It wasn't my jurisdiction. If it was my jurisdiction, then you can't tell me to go. That's how evil spirits and demons and devils are. They come into our lives. They find ways. When they say inside and nobody says anything, they see that the gate is not locked, then they come inside. They come to they want to look at what has happened there, if they can find a warehouse to use for church in your life. Yeah. They want to see whether your brains are not working well. So whether they can find a place in your brains and continue to help you so that your brains won't work well. Yeah. They want to see whether, you know, you are so the type who is afraid of a lump in your breast. So they want to come there and be there and make something become a little hard in your breast by almost like every morning for you to say, hey, this thing is getting a little bigger. So there is a door. Yeah. They want to see whether your stomach, your belly, whether you have some fears about your womb, some fears about your life, some fears about anything. They want to, if that is the fear, they want to find a door, that fear as a door, and come in there and allow that concern, that worry, to become bigger and bigger and bigger by the day. Because the gate is open. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. So the devils only come into our life because there's a place. Somebody asked me a very interesting question. Whether they can be a demon, somebody can be demon possessed, something. The answer is what I remember. I've forgotten the question. So I say, yeah. If you are married to somebody, you see, people don't know that your interaction with somebody is a door you open to your life. So there was a wife who asked me this question. I said, yeah. I said, if your husband has a background that is evil, that is occultic, and that you don't know,
as you have married this person, you have actually opened a door. This door is not a small 30 by 80 inches door. This is a double wide door like the church door. Because this devil, this demon, they have a legal right to come into your life because of the marriage. So apart from the niceness of the guy, the cuteness of the girl, please think about the spirit behind such a cute person. And that is what many people don't consider. Because we are so moved by the physical that once you see an adorable lady, a juicy lady, an edible lady, a succulent lady, your mind goes berserk, goes on vacation. You don't think about anything anymore. Until that encounter now opens you up to demon possessions. I tell you. Sometimes you meet a man, you meet a woman, and they make you do things you've never done in your life before. It's true. When I was growing up, I was very soft to understand. And I met these guys, every night they go out to drink. So I also joined them. Every night we go and drink. That's one of them, the older one, he died the other day, very sad. He will bring a girl to the house every night. Every night, this guy will bring a different girl to his house every single night for years. Yes. I mean, everybody was afraid of him. If we men were afraid of him, it's like, Charlie, how can you do something like this? You not see a girl around him who lasts for a day or two, a night. Yeah. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? So, I'm talking about Jesus casting out devils out with the word of his mouth. Because initially you have to understand how they came in. They came in through a door that was open. They were not invited. They sneaked in. So they are not in their right. So then what happens is that what you need is you need a spiritual word from somebody who has an authority. Authority of either over the person, authority or over the place, who stands and speak and say, you know what? What are you doing in my yard? Get out of this place. Otherwise, the person will be there. The spirit will be there. They will just be enjoying themselves. And demons, they don't go. They sleep. I mean, if you're in this church and you have devils, unless I pray for you, you can be 80 years old now. You still have the devil. The devil has not gone anywhere. I'm not impressed at all. I am the doctor. If I don't give you the cure and heal you, I don't know how you're going to declare yourself healed. Is it because you're polishing your face these days, so it means that demons... No. I know you have devils. I have not been the witness of your freedom. So I still know that you have them. Except that you have grown. And as you have grown, you have learned to cover them more. So it looks as if they're gone. They ain't gone. They're right there. Except the Son says you're free. You're not free indeed. So Jesus now, because Jesus has authority, and because his jurisdiction, where he moves and works and acts and lives, is also a place where he exerts his authority. He's able to use the word. And the word has power because the terrain is his terrain. I mean, if you, my words have power here. I can go on the radio and people say, well, what kind of nonsense is the man talking about? They can insult me. But in the church here, you can't tell me it's nonsense. You rather are talking nonsense. I have an area, I have a jurisdiction. That is why it's very important also for the person who casts devils out of your life should be somebody who has authority over your life. It's not just anybody. You see, it's like, for example, if I invite a pastor here, what happens is that I give him the keys to your life. So when he comes here, the things he does is because I've given him the key, he has authority. But if you live here and you go to another church for deliverance service, you are actually trespassing. You've jumped somebody's wall to go in and ask for freedom. It's like you people are chasing you. Instead of going to knock on the door, you are jumping somebody's wall. You're two troubles, one God. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to teach. Are you sure you're following? So instead of going through the door to have legal access to the place for the person who is in charge of the place to have legal access over you to cast out the devils, you are going through the wall or through the back gate. Because that is not where you eat. That is not your home. That's not your spiritual abode. And therefore, when you go to these places for deliverance, it does not work. Oh. The demon will ask the person who is casting the devils, who are you? Do you remember the sons of Sceva? Yeah, they asked, they said, ask for Paul, we know. Ask for Jesus, we know Jesus. How about you? Who are you? What power do you have? What authority do you have to try and tell us that we should live? Live where? Hello, the Bible said that man who was possessed, seven boys, he beat them up. You learn not to go outside your jurisdiction to cast out any devil. It's not a game. I'm showing you where the authority comes from. It comes from the fact that the person that you are casting the devil, the person has submitted to your authority. It comes, or the words are able to cast out devils also. Because where you're operating within your jurisdiction. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, it takes great anointing. For those who are not spiritual, and for those who are spiritual, it takes a certain great power to go into a country, live there, stay there, have a church, and let the church work and multiply and increase. It takes something, it's something more. But people don't understand that. Because you cannot go outside the country that you were brought up in, go to another country where you were not born there, and have such a following. It is called supernatural power. Because nobody will shift or push for you to come and get space and get space. Like I was sharing with you, one of our ladies in our church in Wales, one of the Tuesday evenings, one of the ladies was telling me the other day about a vision she had. She said she fell when I was praying for some people. I don't know whether she fell or something fell. There was a falling, all right? And she said, She entered into the spiritual realm immediately, and she saw this old Indian set of women, and one woman had come to the altar to come and pick up somebody that I had prayed for who had fallen, and this person, this old lady who was like the gang leader who had come to pick up whoever had fallen, was insulting and abusing a man who was standing at the gate to the church in Wales, not the gate but the entrance to the hall. That he is the one who made us come there. And as we came, they thought we were just coming. There was some jokey they were coming to do. But now, sir, the people, they're serious. So the woman was so furious. He was insulting the man at the entrance to the church. The man was folding hands very quiet. He was not talking back to the woman. Then the sister tells me that they were saying that I have come and I have broken a certain chain, a certain link they have around the building. When the sister said that, I said, I understand what you are saying. I understand what you are saying because I said that the place is very hot. So we broke parts of the wall and we inserted vent blocks. So by so doing, as if we want ventilation, it's good to be led by a supernatural path though. He can tell you something that doesn't make sense, but in doing it, you actually do something that makes sense. When I commanded that wall, that top part to be broken and put in ventilation blocks, not knowing that act, actually whatever they said they have around the building, by breaking those places, that chain has been broken. So it's loose. There's no connection anymore. And they are so angry. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. And so I'm saying that for all these things to happen, it means that God, supernatural, like Nicodemus said, Nicodemus told Jesus, no man can do these things that thou doest. Who goes to somebody's country and plants churches? That's why we get all the fights and the things we get. Because it's not, you can't come. You can't come. And when you come, you can't stay. And when you stay, you can't do this. And when you do this, you can't do more of this. So to see a certain dimension of spiritual work, it must tell you the backing, the support that such an individual has. And you see, I am, for those who don't know me, I am different from a regular Guyanese pastor. They have not gone anywhere. They have not gone to anybody's territory. They have not entered into anybody's country. They don't even know how to live in a country and apply for permit and get work permit and get passport. And they don't even know anything about that. Many of you don't know how to apply for a passport in another country. You go to America, many Guyanese are there without legal documents. Because it's not easy to enter into somebody's country and get a staying permit and live there and work there and buy a car and own a house and have a wife and have children and have money. Hey, who gave you that power? I'm just trying to explain something to you. And it is those things, ladies and gentlemen, that gives somebody power to say, Satan, get out. You evil spirits, get out. Hey, you spirits of lies, spirits of deception, spirits of lust, get out. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to close, but it's not new. Okay, it's not new. I can tell you by my experience that if you've had sex before, you are likely to have a devil. If you've had sex before marrying, you are likely to have a devil.
Yeah.
It's true. And if you challenge me, I'll prove it to you tonight. I'm going to pray. I'm going to speak tonight. And anybody that God has given me oversight over, should there be any lingering encumbrances, those encumbrances are going to dissolve. They are going to be broken down. Every watchman over your life who is not from God, tonight by the words of my mouth, is leaving your life to return no more in the name of Jesus.
Maybe as you are listening to me right now, you know deep down in your heart that you are not born again. You know deep down in your heart that you are not saved. If you were to die right now, will you go to heaven or hell? It takes faith. It takes believing in Jesus to go to heaven. You want to pray this prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me and I believe God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer I am saved from hell. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You are born again. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.